Today, my guest is Louise Wallace Richmond. She is a corporate communications specialist and a self-described design freak. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure because you're one of my gurus that I go to when we are talking about design. And what we're talking about today is the very scintillating and contemporary topic of poster design.
Oh, I know, my absolute favorite.
It's kind of exciting, actually.
Yes.
In the art center, we get a lot of posters delivered to us from other arts organizations and all kinds of other individuals looking for a place to hang their poster. So I see all forms of communication types come and go. And I want to talk today about the effective ways of communicating through posters, the artistic ways, posters as an art form, and posters just as tools.
Yes.
So first of all, let's talk a little bit about your background in design.
Okay. Well, let's see. Now, so I've always loved the printed word. Even as a child, I was my neighbor used to take me to the North Bay public library book club, so we could go in the basement and look at the stacks and find out all about the Dewey Decimal System. And I mean, I guess that makes me kind of a nerdy person, but it really shaped me as I went on in my career. I was like the newspaper editor of my high school paper and all of these things. And I've always loved print. I worked for Hansard for a while on Parliament Hill.
Wow.
So I've seen all facets of publishing, from the Dewey Decimal System to the internet. I've seen printing presses the size of locomotives to my little wee tiny Mac computer where I do most of my work now. So I really feel like I've been on this great adventure, and design has added so much to my life.
Well, that's an interesting sort of topic right there. How much change has happened just inside of your career span? And you're not very old. You must be only 25,
oh,
right?
Yeah, 25. Yeah. With lots of years of experience. But, no, it's true. It's really quite amazing. You know, like I always say, one of the things, so I have two parts of my professional life. I do corporate communications for a lot of nonprofits in town, including the gallery, the Literacy Alliance, Downtown Salmon Arm. These are groups we adore working with because their messages are so important. But then the other part of my professional life is publishing. And if I had been born even 25 years earlier, that would not have been an option for me because I was not a rich white man in New York City, right?
Oh.
So really that was the purview of the wealthy who had the money to publish their points of view. And even if you look at like the New Yorker, which is probably the quintessential literary magazine, it never made any money. It still doesn't make money, mm-hmm. but it's somebody's point of view. So
yeah.
Publishing is a privilege, and it's a privilege that is offered to more people now because of the democratization of design and information. So anybody can go on WordPress, put up a blog, share your thoughts. I mean, I think it's wonderful. You know, people always say, well, my kids will talk about Wikipedia and they'll say, well, Mom, it's not right. My friend said at school that it wasn't right. I said, well, that's the beauty of it, though. What is right? What is wrong? What is good? What is bad? You know, it's just we all get to engage in this process, whereas 25, 40, 50 years ago, you know, we never could have done that. We didn't have a voice.
Yeah. So with this new technology and rapidly changing technology, are you finding that posters, the printed pieces of communication, are becoming obsolete?
You know, it's, I don't think so. I really think that, so the poster is the original publishing format. Like if you think about movable type and the invention of movable type and the printing press, that's the first thing they did was make posters and nail them to the walls of the churches to send messages out that created revolutions, political revolutions. So to me, when I see a poster, I think of those original posters and how they engaged people in ways they'd never been engaged before, and how they've created movements and improved our lives vastly, you know. So I think it's, to me, I see a good poster is like a good picture. It's, you know, it's worth a million words.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, yeah. Yeah.
Or a thousand.
It's worth
a lot of words. Many, many words.
So still when people walk by one on the street, if it catches their eye and it's something of interest, they're going to absorb it. They're going to stop and read.
Yeah. Absolutely. And on that point, I think what's really important All of us in our lives, you know, maybe you make a flyer for the bake sale for your kids at school, or you lose a pet and you want to post notices in the neighborhood and at the post office. You have a relationship with the people you haven't met yet, or the people that you're seeking to meet. And I think that sometimes we tend to overindulge what our message is and not think enough about who the audience is.
Oh.
So when I look at posters, I'll think about, now, who have they thought, are they really thinking about the people they're trying to reach, or are they really thinking about what they want to say? Because sometimes what we want to say and who we want to reach don't always match up, and those posters don't really work.
Mm. Okay, well, can we get onto that right now? Let's talk about posters that work.
Yeah,
what are some of the elements that really...
Well, I think basically a poster has to tell a simple story. I mean, as designers, we have to recognize that people live very busy lives, and we are, you know, marketing, especially in this day and age, we are bombarded with tens of thousands of messages in a week, and there are only so many of them that can stick, because your brain is only capable of absorbing so much, mm-hmm. so many bits of information. So I think when you're designing, or when we design a poster, we're really thinking about the audience, where they are, what they're doing, what they're thinking about, what their level of interest is. We want to engage them in a way that maybe another poster doesn't. So we want to stand out from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
What's important is to use that space, that white space, the piece of paper, as a real storytelling mechanism. It's your canvas. I think in most cases, less is more.
Oh yeah.
I think there are, some technical things that should be avoided, like never bold, italicize, and underline all at once. Just try and stick to one. One major form and character. Use some color if you can. Don't trap white space. So lots of times people like to put boxes around things because they think it's important, but it's actually just hurting the visual ability of the user to absorb the information. So mm-hmm. because we do tend to read in a certain shape, so we'll go to the top left and then over to the right and then down to the bottom left and then bottom, like almost like a
big Z.
A Z.
Yeah.
And so you need to think about that. And so if you look at posters, and you know, maybe you'll be out today and you'll see something pinned up at Askew's and you'll notice, you'll look at it differently. So even if you're not a designer, you still absorb design, and your eyes and your brain works in a certain way that some information is easier to absorb than others. And so mm-hmm. as designers, we're very careful to follow those rules. You know, it's not just a matter of I like it, I don't like it, I like blue, I like orange. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really more important than that.
Yeah.
You're trying to design a system by which you can transfer the information from one party to another.
Right.
And that's really what publishing is, changing, you know, moving information in between people.
Right.
In a way that is fair to them.
Yeah. Is there a couple of rules? Like, I just know that when I see posters that have multiple different font styles,
yeah.
that's disruptive to me.
It is very disruptive. Again, not because it's good or bad, but because the brain absorbs information in certain ways. So the basic rule of thumb is to keep it two fonts or less, two sizes or less, three at the very most. Boxing things, different kind of fonts are better for headlines. Some fonts are better for body copy or the text that goes in them.
Are serif fonts better than sans serif?
Yeah, so serif fonts, so there's two kinds of fonts, sans serif and serif. Sans serif are the square boxy letters that don't have the little doohickeys mm-hmm. attached to them. And serif fonts are the fonts that have the little doohickeys. Now, the reason sans serifs are good for headlines is because they're short bits and bursts of information. The reason that serif fonts are good for body copy, or the bigger paragraph stuff, I guess, is because the little doohickeys help your eye move from one letter to the next, and then from one word to the next. So there's other rules of thumb, like the human eye can only read 5 to 8 words in one line without forgetting what the first word was.
Oh.
So a lot of times, and this is especially true in big corporate government organizations, is they like to have super long lines of text because they think they're making the most of the 8.5 by 11 page. So, and while that is, you do want to manage how much ink you can get on a page, you're also taking advantage of your reader, because the human brain just cannot take that much information in.
Right.
So the best thing is to go back to the classics. If you're designing a poster, if it's for a bake sale, if it's for, if it's for a show at the gallery, you know, you have to abide by the standard principles. Go to the library, look at classic books, pick up a paperback, look at a magazine. I mean, these are people who are professionally trained in layout and design. Mm-hmm. And the reason they do it that way is because it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So speaking of professionally trained design, I've heard you say before, bad design costs more money than good design.
Yes, that's true.
And so doing things at home isn't always the best decision.
Well, you know, and I understand, especially, you know, I am in a good position to talk about this because I do work with nonprofits, you know, every day, all day. And resources are scarce. It's hard to find the money to do the things that you want to do, the things that you need to do. But by investing in a design system that you can use and reuse, like if you viewer or listeners might notice that the gallery posters all tend to have the same grid. Well, now that we've designed that grid, it's easy,
mm-hmm.
right? So you put the money up front and you design something of value, and then it becomes part of your infrastructure.
Right. It's
right?
a template that we use again and again. And I feel good about that because it's a look. People can recognize it from across the street and know that's a gallery poster. I'm going to find out when the next show is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's very important that we think of design as a piece of infrastructure, as a piece of equipment. I mean, you know, whether it's a chair or a desk or a computer, you know, you have to invest in good, well-designed materials so that you're sure that you're reaching the audience you want to reach in the way that you want to reach them.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I always often find with businesses and organizations, they'll put all their copy together and send it out, and then they'll think to themselves, oh, phew, okay, that's done. I could check that off my list. But what the missing step is they haven't always really carefully and thoughtfully considered the needs of the person who's going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes brochures and posters, ironically, can act as a barrier to communication. So it's okay to leave some of the stuff out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And leave room for that conversation, because the poster, you're trying to engage them in a relationship, and mm-hmm. that's what marketing is all about. It's all about relationship management, starting them, improving them, enhancing them, even ending them if you have to, but which happens sometimes. But you are trying to have a relationship. It's a love letter to the people you're trying to reach.
Aww,
right?
That's
so
perfect.
Yeah.
Because
well, thank you.
Because you, well, it's true. I always feel like that when it's not just about us reaching our current members and the community members who already visit the gallery, because I want to please them and I want to show them very quickly and excitingly
yes.
what's happening.
And respectfully.
Yes.
Right.
Also want to attract new people. And every time we do an exhibition that's unusual or different or might be attracting a different crowd, a different demographic, I kind of like to do things just a little bit differently.
Yes.
And that's where I go back to my little design firm and say, okay, I want to do this one differently. Before we talk about the exhibition poster that we were just designing the other day, which is quite exciting because it was like I said, something different that's coming up. Before we go to that, I want to talk a little bit about things that you get in the mail, like brochures, like you said, sometimes less is more. You just had one that came in that frustrated you, particularly as a designer.
As a designer. So I'm going out on a bit of a limb here, but I think it's important that as taxpayers, okay, so we're all taxpayers, and while it is our government's job to spend our money, and for the most part they do a good job, especially the city. I think the city's very wise in how they spend their money. Every now and then I'll come across a piece of government literature. It strikes me that they will put the words on the piece of paper with absolutely no regard to design, who the reader is, what the message is. And case in point was, with respect to Mr. Mays, who's a lovely person and serves our community well, he sent out a householder about the European trade deal. And on the verso of that flyer, big, bold print. I mean, it broke basically every design rule in the book. You know, text in boxes, bold type, no use of serif fonts. And then the language was so jargony and legalistic. It just shocked me that this, you know, there must be at least 100,000 people in this riding. I mean, let's just call it 60. So every single household in the riding got this black and white flyer, which is of absolute minimalist value to any ordinary Canadian family. So to me, I feel like that was a crime against design, you know, and it was a crime against us as taxpayers. Yeah. That could have been done. Send it out as a press release to the Chamber of Commerce. Make sure that they communicated to their members who are exporters. You know, that would have been more appropriate. Mm-hmm. So this is an example of how we think we have a message and we want it out, but we're not always careful enough to target that message. You know, even Coca-Cola knows they're not trying to reach everybody. They're just trying to reach a certain demographic. They're very targeted in what they do and how they do it. And if it's good enough for Coca-Cola, it's good enough for everybody else. Right. And so even as I say, whether it's a bake sale or a major marketing campaign, please be mindful of who you're talking to and what you have to say and whether or not they're even interested. Mm-hmm. Right. So where those posters go or whether or not it needs to be a poster, maybe it needs to be something else. You know, those are the sorts of conversations that we have every day at the office. And you know, it is a sustainable competitive advantage for me that I obsess about these things because over the years, you know, I've come to kind of have a point of view based on good training about how it works. And I've watched it succeed. You know, we've had wild successes with good posters, mm-hmm. As have other communities. So we really need to pay attention to this. And it tells our story to the world. And the story in that householder was not one I wanted to hear, nor was it presented in a way I wanted to see, nor was it of any particular value to ordinary taxpaying Canadian families. Yeah. And it's not fair and it's not right. And yeah. Another example of this is the Canada 150. So Canada's going to be 150. Mm-hmm. And I can't even remember. See, that's how. And they decided to do an in-house staff contest.
Oh, gosh.
And the work is not professional. And it will not represent us well. So now, right now, in the design community, there's this big debate about crowdsourcing and doing stuff in-house to save money, but it still comes back to the fact that you wouldn't not ask an architect to design a building because you could do a better job, right? Yeah. Of course you can do a good job. Of course you have great ideas, but please seek out the expertise of the people who are trained in the field is mm-hmm. all I'm saying. Yeah. And this, I bang my head against the wall when doing this, you know. We never say to our accountants, do my books for free for a week, all five of you, and whoever I like better gets the job. That's yeah. not professional. Mm-hmm. So professionals don't ask professionals to work for free. And I just think this money-saving cost obsession we have is really costing us in terms of how we communicate with one another. And I expect so much better of my municipal, provincial, federal government. So there, that's it. Said rant over.
Okay. Well, I'd like the rant to continue because I have a thing about contests. I despise contests because I feel like that is just seeking out as much free labor as you can possibly get and then choosing the best of the worst.
Right. So, right. And it is speculative work, which is unethical in most, it should be unethical in all professions. I mean, I'm not for internships either, unless it's, you know, part of a curriculum at a school where they mm-hmm. come and work for a week or 10 days and get a mark for it, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, apprentices are paid. Co-op students are paid. Mm-hmm. This idea of a contest. The problem with the contest is the amount of research that goes into a job before the design is even done is often overlooked. Mm-hmm. So there are examples of communities like Seashelt got in a lot of hot water. They hired a design firm. They didn't like the results. And then they canned the logo that they paid $30,000 for, and then they had a contest, and the contest was a disaster. And now, as it turns out, and this was probably more of a management issue than anything, but most of those the senior managers in Seashell have resigned because it's such a debacle. They just don't know how to manage their money, so or they don't know how to manage their design dollars. So I really you know, design is something we live with every day. We might not be designers. We might not even think we're creative, but it's a very important part of how your life and your point of view is shaped. So look around for it.
Yeah.
Be critical. Ask questions. Be curious. If you see something you like, say so. If you see something you don't like, say so. That's the only way we can make it better.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about this poster designed. So the exhibition that's coming up at the gallery in May and June is called Saga, The Art of Storytelling in the 21st Century. It's very exciting. It's the first time that we'll have done a two-month exhibition, but it's so interactive and collaborative and outreaching that we needed that kind of time frame to do it all. It's very exciting because it covers all of our methods of storytelling over our entire history. Everything from oral tradition to the ebook will be covered. And it's just a very exciting, all-encompassing show. Now, you got one poster to do for something like that. That's big.
Yeah. So it was a big challenge or a big knot to undo because you have a lot to say and only 11 by 17 inches to say it in. So this was a case of really wanting to engage people in a way they hadn't seen before while still communicating the message in a credible and memorable fashion, right? And the other thing, because it's the art gallery, we want it to in and of itself be part of the story and to also be a piece of art, right? Mm-hmm. So people might not know this, but a lot of people actually buy art gallery posters and frame them and keep them at home because there's a lot of beautiful art on those posters. So the challenge was take this blank canvas and tell the story. So what would be the main theme? Is it a book? Well, a book doesn't really.
Yeah, it's only one element of all of our.
Is it a poem? Well, a poem doesn't really tell. Is it a picture of people reading a book? Well, maybe that doesn't tell the whole story either, right?
Yeah.
So what we came to after lots of discussing, a lot of discussing, and a lot of research, we looked at other design blogs, we looked at typography books, we looked at other posters, we went on Pinterest, you know, like design can come from all over the place, mm-hmm. right? So oftentimes I'll go to the grocery store if I'm stuck for an idea and I'll look at color combinations or something that inspires me, you know, mustard jars. I mean, there's lots of wonderful, lots of wonderful places to find inspiration, especially nature. Like right now I'm looking out at the beautiful mountains and the blue sky and the frost. I mean, that's inspiring, right? Anyway, so we looked around and
such
then
an artist.
What we did come up with though is that there was one defining element that ran through every aspect of the show. And it was so obvious, but we didn't see it right away, which is often what happens, right? It takes what is that? I can't remember the expression. The obvious takes a little longer.
Yeah.
So I'll find it. And it's the alphabet.
Yeah.
Right? Because everything is woven together in the show by a love of words, and words are a combination of the 26 letters of the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're going to do.
It's the alphabet.
It's the alphabet.
Yeah.
And so every letter of the alphabet will be represented, and every letter of the alphabet will represent one element of the show, and it's going to be a beautiful piece, and I can't wait to get my copy and frame it and put it in my office. I'm so excited about it.
That's because this is your thing.
Yeah, it's my thing. Yeah. But I mean, and it's, I think it's important to say that this show is really about community and about storytelling. Everybody has a story, all of us, and design helps tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
And good design really helps tell that story. That's why poster design and website design and ad design and household flyer designs from your member of parliament are so important, right? And we have to show a respect for the intelligence of our readers,
mm-hmm.
and the importance and the fact that, you know, we're only one part of their life. So if you're putting something out there, make sure it's a love letter. Say what you want to say in a way that is loving and meaningful and respectful of what else they have to do in their lives.
Right. And then about this one, this particular poster, there's also an element of consistency that we want to see throughout, because there's all different kinds of projects to do with this that will not be necessarily right in the Art Center. So when we're designing something that goes along with an exhibition and that has other outreach projects, we want to have a look that will be able to be used in all these other situations.
That's right. Absolutely.
So it's almost like a logo.
Yeah, is in being a way, created. It is a logo. It's an identity. Mm-hmm. You know, and now you know we're not even using words like logo so much anymore as brand. And I mean, there's a lot of jargon in design, and it irritates me. But what we're trying to design is a visual identity for the show and all that it encompasses in the gallery and outside the gallery.
Yeah,
yeah. And so that a consistent, I like to say it's like wrapping everything in the same color of ribbon, right? Yeah. And who doesn't love things wrapped in ribbon? So at least I do. Well, that's the other place I go, to the fabric store if I need inspiration.
Oh.
Yeah, buy ribbon and play with the ribbon.
I think one of those, that's one of the places where you see art that you don't really recognize that you see art.
Yes.
There are people designing those fabrics.
Absolutely.
And that is, it's just like the Hallmark card. I'm telling people that they're looking at design all the time, every day, making design decisions, and it's right there, but they're not seeing it.
No.
Right? They're not seeing the artwork.
Right.
They're not seeing the person who originally draws that drawing that ends up being a fabric design.
Absolutely. It's true. Design is everywhere, and good design is what we notice.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. One last thing.
Yes.
What was your favorite poster over these last few years? The favorite exhibition poster for the gallery, unless one of the exhibition posters wasn't your favorite in that case.
No, they all, I love seeing them all. I love the white space. I love how they take me somewhere that I want to be. I would have to say, until this one, which I'm sure will be fabulous, it would be the bicycle show poster.
That was a great one.
Yeah, Otto Fanschmidt custom drew thousands of bicycles for that show, and many of them were featured, and I absolutely love it. We have a huge version of it in our office, and I look at it every day, and it makes me smile, and it reminds me that, you know, life is exciting and fun, and if you get on your bike, you can go places, and that's ultimately what design is all about.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Louise. This has been an absolute joy.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I think design belongs to everyone. If anyone has any questions, get in touch with me. You'll find me, Louise Wallace Salmon Arm, on Google. I'm there, I promise. And, or talk to us at the gallery or come see us at the office. We love to talk design.
Yeah. Thank you. That was Louise Wallace Richmond. She is the corporate communication specialist and in her own business, MediaAbility, and as well, she runs Playfort Publishing. So even interested in publishing as well as design, talk to Louise. She's so talented. We're so very lucky to have her in this community. I'm so grateful that she didn't move away to Calgary or Montreal or Vancouver. That is Artscape for this week. I want to remind everyone that more information can be found on our website about upcoming arts events in Salmon Arm, www.salmonarmartcenter.ca. And it's always a great idea to check out our Facebook page. It's just Salmon Arm Arts Center. We usually put all kinds of information on that too. Join us next week. We'll be talking more about arts events in the Salmon Arm area.